thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, Will T. What's going on?
It's bittersweet, man. It's a bittersweet day for me, man.
Oh, I can't knock here. Knock here. Say again.
So this is a bittersweet episode for me, man.
Why is it bittersweet, Will T? Why? Explain to the people why it's a bittersweet episode, man.
This probably will be my last episode on the Urban Sports Scene for a long time.
Explain why, because I think
people know by now me and you are friends.
Yeah, we're very good friends.
And friendship means a lot to me.
It sure does. Friendship means
supporting others when time of need.
You're darn right. I agree.
I'm in a time of need,
and you refuse
to help me.
But what is it? Tell these people what you're referring to. You're just saying,
listen, we're friends. I don't need to put our business out in the show. I am in need of something that you have.
Yeah, he is. This is true.
I've given you what I think is an extremely fair.
I don't know if it's fair, offer. But it's a, it's
extremely
a,
fair.
It's an offer. I like to call it an offer.
I provided you a very fair offer. Above fair offer.
That you believe that is fair. You believe that is fair. You believe
I know that is fair. If you looked at it, if you looked at the numbers,
oh man,
it evens out and it is completely fair.
Obviously, you can tell we're talking about sports. Go ahead. Continue.
And it's completely fair.
Continue.
I've offered you on multiple occasions extremely fair offer.
No, you haven't. On multiple occasions? Are we going to really do this? Are we really going to say multiple occasions?
Yes. I offered you...
We're talking behind the scenes.
We can throw it out there. Wait, I mean, the first offer I offered you was Philip Lindsay for Stephon Diggs. Before Stephon Diggs.
And I countered that with what? And what did I counter with?
Josh Jacobs.
I said I would give you Diggs for Jacobs. And really, to be told, that you would have won out on that deal. I said, you give me Jacobs, I'll give you Diggs.
Then I provided you with a second offer.
And that second offer was?
That second offer was DJ Chark Jr.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, I don't like T.Y. Hilton.
And Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
For Dalvin Cook and Tyler Lockett.
That is way too much.
Which is a very fair deal.
Oh, my. That is not a fair deal.
So, since friends can't help friends out in time of need, this today will be my last show on the Urban Sports Scene.
You hear this from Will T, man. He's gonna lead the mob, man.
No,
because of a fantasy football situation. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play. I'm gonna try to look out for Spotify. I heard that's like jumping too. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, my last pregame.
Memories, man. That sounds, you know, that's sentimental to me, man.
It is.
You know what I mean? I feel like my T.O., man. That's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback.
But I think whenever you know, you have to let people know you're serious.
All right, man. Look, Trent did try the same thing, but he still got his bag, but he tried to do the same thing. And he didn't get his trade, though. He wanted to be traded. He didn't get it, though. I'm just saying, AB.
He'll get traded after this year.
Oh, yeah. And probably before the draft or right during that time. Here is what we have on tap. The Washington Nationals World Series matchup against the Houston Astros. Will the Nats be eliminated tonight? Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats will join the show to help discuss this with us. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Washington Redskins dropping the ball and not trading Trent Williams and other players. Also, like I mentioned, Trent has ended his holdout. And so we'll see what it goes from there. At 8:30, the Washington Wizards have been very competitive, but we'll talk about their upcoming home game against the Houston Rockets at 8:40.
Home opener.
At 8:40, we'll talk about what we've learned so far during the first week of the NBA season. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our Week 9 NFL picks. But first, right now, we have Talk Nats Kevin Nibley on the line. What's going on, Kev?
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're going good. Everything's going good.
Good.
It's my last show, man.
It's Will's last show, so Will keeps saying it's his last show. That's his whole thing right now. He's mad at the fantasy football thing. It's all good. He'll get over it.
I'm mad. Passionate.
It happens.
It happens. So, all right. It was all good like a couple weeks ago. All good. Like, this team was looking good. 2-0. You know, that three straight games in D.C., the area was going crazy, going wild. You know, you had, you know, you knocked out Cole, you knocked out Verlander. You didn't have to worry about them anymore. You went to the game, you had Greinke and, you know, an unknown pitcher, right? All of a sudden now, the Nats are down 3-0. I mean, 3-2 in the series. What happened?
I think, I don't know if I can swear on your show or whatever, but I think basically, I think if I can say the word ass, I think Houston mm-hmm. kind of just kicked our ass.
Yeah,
for three games. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I wish that I could make it more complicated than that. You know, I know a lot of people have been complaining about the umpire strike zones, yeah. And yeah, there were like a few calls that maybe could have gone in that way that didn't, but you know, at the end of the day, the Astros pitchers pretty much shut us down. We scored three runs over three games, and, you know, they scored 4, 7, and 8, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's really nothing more complicated to it than, you know, the Astros are a really great team, and they're a historically good team. You know, they came into the World Series being the biggest favorites in the World Series, I think, since 2007. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they showed why in D.C. You know, but with that being said, you know, I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that the Nats could pull off a little bit of a mini miracle with Strass and maybe Max tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the umpires, the umpiring. What comes to mind is the Robles strikeout. That pitch was high and outside. But I'm with you in this aspect that I'm not going to blame the umpires for the turnaround in the series, because there were a couple of questionable calls that went in the Nats' favor within the homestand in the World Series.
Yeah.
So for me to say, like, all right, well, the reason why they lost was because the umpiring is a bunch of BS, to be honest with you, because at the end of the day, like, this team wasn't – like, the Astros had to deal with the same thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, the reason why some of the Nats fans have been grumbling is because it's after one of our pitchers throws a ball on the edge that maybe should have been called a strike and isn't. Then, you know, two pitches later, their guy hits like a 2 or 3 run homer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had a couple of check swings that maybe, you know, were swings that weren't called swings. Mm-hmm. But the difference is 2 or 3 pitches later, our guy just hit a 2 or 3 run homer. So, I mean, I'm obviously a big Nats fan, but I'm not going to get into that is the reason why they lost. You know, I think it's just a, you know, if you look at this Nats postseason, and I don't think a lot of people have made a lot about it, aside from the Cardinals series against the Dodgers, against the Brewers, and now against Houston, the Nats have only won games that Max or Strass has started. You know, the St. Louis series is the only time they were able to even win a game. I think here against a really great team in Houston, you're sort of seeing a similar thing. Sanchez and Corbin have done their best, and they're fine pitchers. But again, you know, the best, like LA or Houston, you know, who were the two best teams. You know, we're an underdog. We're going to need Max and Strass to really, hold it down and kind of get a couple, just get some timely hits.
Hey, Kevin, I think we're losing you. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We'll see. Hold on.
It's okay. We're having some technical difficulties. I mean, it's bound to happen. This was my last show, so, you know. Oh, he's safe.
Safe. Bound to happen.
Trey Turner.
You said it's bound to happen. It's your last show.
Yeah, I mean, it's my last show. It's just a sign of things to come once I leave. Fans, please stick in there. Support Wally and Ray and the Urban Sports Scene brand when I'm gone. You know,
hey, Kevin, you hear
good.
Kevin?
Yeah,
I got you.
Okay.
I know it's Will T acting like Will T. so all right. So Joe Ross pitched in Game 5 because Max Scherzer had neck spasms. We know Max is a soldier, but I'm gonna put this out there. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Let's say this was Steven Strasburg that had this. He had neck spasms, right? What would be the narrative?
I agree. I do think that Max gets a pass that Strass wouldn't get. I do think that, you know, Strass obviously throughout his career, especially early on, a lot was made. I think the nickname was even, they called him the hothouse flower. They used to kind of, you know, complain about how he couldn't pitch in humidity and needed everything to be just right. And, you know, he had not a great narrative for his career in the very beginning. But, you know, to be fair, Seth, I do think that start he had in 2017 against the Cubs, where he kept him in the season. Yeah, he was sick. Maybe he was, Dusty Baker said, oh, he wasn't going to go. And, you know, the baseball world kind of, you know, basically called him soft. And he comes out the next day and throws, I think, seven shutout innings. But I do think, you know, I think if it had been Strasburg, maybe there's a sorry, I'm watching the game.
No, we're all watching it, too.
Maybe,
I thought he could have been safe. I thought it was close. He almost beat it out. Adam Eaton almost beat it out.
Yeah, I look close. but maybe, you know, maybe there's a chance that I think if Strasburg would have called in sick, quote-unquote, to game five, I think he would have got more heat than Max. You know, but to be fair to Max, I really think if he could have, you know, I think something is wrong. And he's had that neck problem all year. And if he couldn't go, you know, I take him at his word for sure.
So game six, obviously game six is going on right now. The Nats have Turner at second base, one out. Adam Eaton just laid down a sweet bunt to have Turner at second base. Steven Strasburg is going up against Justin Verlander with Rendon in the plate at the moment. Strasburg won his last matchup with Verlander, and Stras has been undefeated in the postseason. How are you feeling about this matchup?
You know, I think for the Nats, this is their chance. You know, this team was 19-31. They had the worst bullpen in the history of the major leagues, in the history of modern major leagues, in the major leagues this year. It's like a bullpen that's been on fire for much of the season. Somehow they were able to pull it together and get in a wild card, and somehow they were able to kind of come from death's door a couple times against Milwaukee down 3-1 in the eighth, against the Dodgers down 3-1. And, you know, so for me as a Nats fan, do I expect them to win two in Houston and win the whole thing? Probably not. But what I've seen so far from this team, I wouldn't necessarily write them off. And also, I do think literally the entire baseball world expects Houston to win. If you go on a betting site right now, if you want to bet on Houston to win the World Series, you have to risk $900 to win $100. Jeez. Like, everyone in the world thinks this is over. So, you know, in that scenario for this team that's been buried in 1931, been, you know, looked at in the playoffs a couple times, this is the right scenario for them. You know, maybe, you know, they have the right guy on the mound tonight. You know, maybe they figure out a way to win tonight. Who knows tomorrow? You know, so I think as a Nats fan, this is oddly a fitting end, one way or the other, to the season for sure.
We'll see.
Kevin, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
All right. I do have one question for you regarding this, just in this series in general. Since you're probably more of a baseball aficionado than I have, have you ever seen a series where the home team has won every game on the road and there hasn't been how can I say it? I'm not going to say that the home the visiting team has won every game on the road, and the home team, for lack of a better word, has pretty much been out of it or hasn't been as explosive offensively when you have two very good offensive teams.
I'm like 99% sure the only time this has ever happened in the World Series ever was in 96, I believe. It was the first time the Yankees won.
Yeah, the Braves.
They lost. Yeah, they ended up winning that series 4-2. You know, they lost the first two at home, what Houston did, went three on the road. Then they came back to Yankee Stadium for game six, and they won game six. So, you know, if Houston wins tonight, that would be the only two times that's ever happened. But if Washington wins, 100% sure that would have never happened in the history of the World Series, that the road team won the first six games. It's happened once before with the road team five games. So, yeah, no, usually at some point.
I told you, it's a sign of things to come, man.
Nice ace. I got Kevin.
Fantasy football guys,
I got Kevin.
Like how
Kevin.
You treated me, man.
Kevin, you here?
Yeah,
I got Kevin. Okay. See, Will, let's stop it. Yeah, so Will, I'm about to smack you, man. I'm with you. It's like the when you're looking at the break, that's the only series that I remember is in terms of that. So, Kevin, what's the key to a Nats victory tonight then? How can it happen?
Steven Strasburg, and they need to score early. As we're doing this live, they got a guy on the second Rendon's up. They need to get a couple runs early. All of baseball, everyone in baseball world thinks it's going to be coordination tonight. So
They did, Kev. Rendon drives
him in. Oh,
they did? Yep. Did you just him in?
Yeah, your feed must be about 15 seconds ahead of my cable feed because I'm watching it now. All right. Well, great. Okay. Yeah. This is what the Nats need is basically, you know, turn the, you know, because, you know, the same way that Nats fans showed up this weekend thinking they're going to watch a World Series victory in D.C., mm-hmm. you know, you can get the same vibe in Houston. And the Nats get like a little bit of a lead tonight. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're not going to win tonight. Oh, wow, we have to play tomorrow. Mm. You know, we're not the champs yet. You know, when everyone says the series is over, that's what the, you know, a little bit of shock and awe, I guess.
Yeah.
It's what the Nats need, you know.
Well, hopefully they pull it out, Kevin. Hopefully they do. So, hey, Kevin, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, give our listeners the 411 on Talk Nats, and how can they catch you on social media?
Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot. Go visit us at talknats.com. Probably the best place on the internet to talk about the Nats, to really have really intelligent baseball talk, and listen to our podcast. It's at Talk Nats Podcast on Twitter. And thanks again for having me, guys. Sorry if the connection got weird.
Oh, it's not you. It's our equipment.
No,
definitely not you.
No problem. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
Kevin.
You showing up
right,
on my last
care, guys.
Episode
appreciate
on Urban Sports.
All right,
thank
Kevin.
You,
take it easy, Kevin.
Glad you had me on your show.
Oh man, Will, I hate you, Will. That
Why,
is.
Man? I'm just letting the people know, man.
You let everybody know. It's Will T's last episode on the Urban Sports Scene, man. Hey, you know what? If Will T's gonna be out, man, we're gonna let him go with a bang, man. You know we love Will T, man.
Man.
Will T,
not enough.
Well, not enough for a trade, you know. Obviously, you know, I'm stingy. Like Will would say that I'm, you know, what am I, Will?
You're a tyrant.
A tyrant. That's what he called me. A tyrant. Ain't the first. definitely won't be the last. Will T's messed up, man. I thought we were like brothers, man. That's
we
messed
are.
Up,
I
man.
Thought we were too.
Call
brothers
me a tyrant.
Share.
That's messed up, man.
Brothers share, man.
They share. The brothers share girls. That's the question. Yeah, that's another question.
I mean, that's another question.
All right, the trade deadline has passed. What did the Skins do? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Center.
The ages.
You did.
Deuces. I transform like this, perform like this. With Yoshi, one new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill sh- 'cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon. I serve, yeah, that's him again. The sound, the engine in. It's like a bird. You see fireworks and carpet tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work. I know just who you
my
are.
Stop
see, you
at the old spot. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Will T. Wole, Ray Jeezy's out. The trade deadline has passed and the Skins trade no one. Are you surprised?
Absolutely not. Why? Because it's the Skins. Mm. Look, I understand that this is a team that's in a transition, to say the least. You've had a player, Trent Williams, who's refused to, up until this point.
Oh, this is Ray. Ray just sent a text. Just make the trade, Wally. You're done. Let one of us win, LOL.
I mean, Ray agrees with me. Ray agrees with me. He knows, you know, what's going down, man.
Screw that dude. Go ahead, dog.
This is a team that's in a transition, to say the least. You fired your head coach earlier in the year. You have a first round draft pick quarterback potential. You think he's your potential
franchise quarterback.
Yeah, franchise future quarterback. You're keeping him on the bench for whatever reason. Trent Williams just came back into the building. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of star power.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a lot of I'll say individual talent.
Agreed. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
The talent that you do have, if you're in a transition and you're looking to the future, I think the best thing would have been to gotten rid of Trent Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Then you essentially, I would have found.
How about Ryan Kerrigan? Okay. Would you get rid of Ryan Kerrigan?
I think at this point, yeah. Just for the simple fact that you spent three first round draft picks on D linemen, Ryan Kerrigan, obviously, he's a good player, a solid player, a very good player, extreme, above solid, right?
He's a good player. I think
He's a very good player.
I'm on the side of saying he's getting the bag, right? He's getting paid good. Yeah. And if you're gonna be Ryan Kerrigan, you can't have games when you like no show, like you don't ever hear his name.
That goes into the point I was trying to make. If you're paying a guy, he's a good player, and he isn't making an impact, then you're looking towards the future, you need to dump that salary and get whatever. I'm not saying trade him for anything, but you should have been putting feelers out there, and maybe they have been to solicit offers to see what you could get for Ryan Kerrigan, Trent Williams, and also Josh Norman. But I don't think no one would give you anything for Josh Norman.
Yeah, I think you just trade Josh Norman. You just get what you can get. To be honest with you, I think it's to a point where you're just like, all right, well, that's good enough. You don't overvalue Josh Norman. Because at this point in his career, for this team, right, for whatever the system, you can blame system, you can say whatever. For this team, he just hasn't been that good in it. And I like Josh Norman. It's not like I'm anti-Josh Norman, but it's not working here.
No, it absolutely is.
It's not working here. So if it's not working here, there's no need to try to, you know, force it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got young quarterbacks. You got guys you believe that you like that have talent. Go to them. You know what I mean?
And I, you know, some people might think I'm crazy for saying this, but I would actually have thought about getting rid of Brandon Scherff too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not gonna, again, he's on a. You haven't re-signed him.
You haven't re-signed him.
He hasn't played his best football this season.
He's gonna get at least. He's gonna command at least 10 or 12 million when he hits free agency. Yeah. I think.
Would have thought about it.
If someone offered me something, you know, I would have thought about it. And if you're gonna go to rebuild. Go total rebuild. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to get a new coach. It looks, you know, I don't know what role Bruce Allen will play in bringing in the next coach and or the draft. But it looks like you need to shift the dynamic of this team going forward. So, you know, a lot of the higher price veteran players.
The Astros
should have just got rid of them at the trade deadline.
Yeah. I agree. I think Brandon Scherff is a guy that you have to think about a lot of people. Brandon Scherff, Norman, Trent. I think these are all individuals that Will Kerrigan. And these are all individuals that, you know, you should have thought about putting on the block or trying to trade or get feelers, whatever. And if you get fair compensation for any of those players, you have to go for it. I know the Kerrigan teams asked for Kerrigan, and they just declined. The Skins declined to even, you know, to even look at it. I want to say the Ravens were involved in that whole process.
I don't know why. Look, I don't know who. You know, I don't know what offers they received or what calls they fielded in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're doing your franchise a big disservice. If you continue to have some veteran players who have talent, who can fetch future assets for you via trade, and you keep them on this roster with a team that's in a total transition, why pay those high salaries for guys who aren't going to produce wins for you?
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. So you mentioned Trent Williams. Trent Williams, he came back. I'm trying to see the score of this Nats game. Hold on. All right, it's gonna be 1-1. Just the same thing that happened in game one. The same exact thing that happened in game one. Verlander gave up runs, then Straws gave up a run, and then Straws shut them all down. Same exact thing. It's crazy. It's probably the same exact result. Straws wins this game. But back to Trent. Trent, he ended his holdout. He's back. Probably won't play though, but he ended his holdout because he wanted his bag. Thoughts on Trent's return? Or ending his holdout. That's what I want to call it.
Ending the holdout. It's smart of him. I mean, I'm not going to say. I think he did the right thing from a business perspective.
Of course, yeah.
Because he'll show up before week 10 to accumulate another season. And he'll get paid the rest of his salary for the year. Now, I don't know what they're going to do about the fines. Training camp.
That's true.
You know, everything, you know, the fines that he's been
accrued
throughout the season, but he showed up. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, you know. Yeah. Do they make him available for the media to speak to? Will he go in depth about, you know, mm-hmm. his issues with the team? Or, you know, or does he, is he a good citizen? You know, he
cancer.
Shows up.
Will it be a cancer?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how what effect him showing up will have on this team.
All right, so the Skins, the team has to have the Bills next. What should we expect? You know, all the chaos, trade deadline, you know, Trent. What should they expect? More chaos? You know?
Nah.
Non-expiring football on Sunday against the Bills?
I definitely think you look forward to a non-inspiring effort from this team this Sunday against the Bills. The Bills are a good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
This Washington offense is mediocre to say the best.
Yeah.
I mean, right? You really have no weapons outside of Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Adrian Peterson.
He's been playing good. I will say
One thing they do, I'm interested to see. Mm-hmm. I think after week 11, Darius Geis Jr. is able to come off of the injured reserve. So I'm interested to see, you know,
what he
looks like. What can he do?
With Callahan. I will say this, under Callahan, I know it's not saying, I mean, it's still, they're 1-2 with Callahan, but they have been blown out under Callahan. They've been competitive. The offense has been bad, like you said, though, but they've been competitive. And that's a tribute of running. And we talked about this before. Running the football tends to mask some of the deficiencies that you do have on defense. If you decide to go that route,
yeah,
to being a running football team. All right, the Wizards season starts tonight. I mean, not tonight. Excuse me, tomorrow. I mean, season opener.
Season opener is tomorrow.
I mean, that's season opener. Let me go back. Home opener. It's tomorrow. They're playing the Houston Rockets. We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You go ahead.
I mean, wow, you're taking
me. You said you're leaving. You said you're leaving. You know what? I ain't gonna lie. Ray just texted me and said that, you know what, you guys aren't focused because of the stupid game. He's right. The game is getting to me.
Man, something bigger has gotten between me and fantasy football.
I'm going to start it over. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Get in.
Deuces.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Ole, Ray Jeezy's out. All right, man. The Wizards started this season off 1-2. They've been competitive. Your thoughts on their start to the season? Oh, he just hit a home run. Look at it, man. He hit a home run. Damn.
Excuse me.
Bergman hit a home run.
Bergman just hit a home run, man.
Jeez.
So they are up
2-1.
They haven't been as terrible haven't been as terrible as I thought they would be. Slightly above terrible,
mm-hmm.
but and credit to him because he, you know, saw it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The only bright spot that I can look forward to this team is Roy Hotchkiss.
Yeah, right. Yeah, credit to him, and I'll give credit to Ray.
Ray said, you know, don't bash the pick.
Yeah,
just that quick.
Yeah.
So quickly. You know, I wasn't that high on Roy Hotchkiss, but once I saw him during FIBA,
yeah,
you know, for playing for Japan, I was like, okay, maybe Shepard.
Yeah, Tommy Shepard.
Tommy Shepard made the right decision.
Yeah. Will, you know, you saw him in FIBA. When I saw him in preseason, geez, Strauss, what are you? Oh, no, he got it good. He good. He caught it. Strauss giving up pitches. Dang, Strauss. Oh, don't say the young boy hurt. Don't hurt Soto. Don't be hurt, Soto. Tough up, boy. Tough it up. Let me get back to the topic. I'm surprised, actually. I think that this team has been more competitive than I thought they would be. They lost to their season opener to the Dallas Mavericks. They competed. Then they lost. They beat OKC, and then they lost to the Spurs, right? And in the Spurs game, you know, it was a pretty tough game. And you had IT. When I saw when IT came in the game, and he just balled. He flat out balled. And I was then after that, I was thinking to myself, you know what? He didn't play in the fourth like that. You know, Ish Smith got down the stretch. Ish Smith was the guy they had as a starting point guard. And we saw IT, we all saw IT in Boston, and he was missed the fourth quarter. And he looked, you know, it's all about how you look on the court. And that IT looked like the IT that we saw in Boston. And my thing is, if he's going to look like that guy, then you got to go to, you got to have him in the game down the stretch. Bradley Beal ended up taking the last drive, missing the shot, thinking he got fouled, whatever. But if you're going to look at the clutch gene, right, we all play, we watch sports, we watch basketball for years. Certain people have it. They have that clutch gene. That's in that game, that Spurs game, that's a game that I would like, I would have liked to see, I would like to have seen IT in the game down the stretch.
Do you think maybe some of the hip, you know, coming off of the hip surgery and some of that had something to play into
it? He looked good, man. Sometimes you just go with what it is. This is your last opportunity.
I mean, he did, but you still have a very long season.
That's true, but you know, are you talking about the coaches protecting him or
yes,
him himself?
Yes, coaches protecting him.
Possible. That's possible. But I'm just saying, like, you're trying to win games. You have an opportunity. This is not the strongest team. You got to win every game you can win. You got an opportunity to beat the Spurs. You add that win from the Western Conference. You know what I mean? Like, add that win. Because you're going to see the same Spurs in D.C., right? Add that win. Still a couple victories. It's about, at the end of the day, right, you do want to get to the postseason, right? You can't throw away games.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's not like if you were, say, the Clippers.
Let's be honest.
The Clippers, right?
This team is not getting to the post.
No, I'm not saying that. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're the Clippers, right, you're throwing away games. Like, if you could, you throw away games. You don't care. Because you know, at the end of the day, you can go on a stretch. You can go on a run. You can win games, a bunch of games. But if you're the Wizards, and I'm not saying you're aspiring. Like, everybody aspires to make the postseason, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody aspires. So if you got the opportunity to steal a couple games, go for it. Because, like you said, Will T, that run is coming when you're going to lose a lot of games.
Yeah, you know it's definitely coming.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, you utilize him. Because, you pay for, like, only one-year deal. It's a one-year deal. So why not use him? Not to be dirty, but why not use him?
No, I get it. You know, pretty much do him like Danny Ainge did him.
Yeah. is it true? Yeah, I'm just being real.
It's real. I have respected the level of effort that this team has given through the first three games. Especially from a defensive perspective, they haven't been as bad as the Golden State Warriors. But they have a lot of room to improve.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long season. But you know, if this team continues to grow. The players continue to grow their skill offensively and defensively, and they continue to come together and they give the same level of effort. Me personally, I wouldn't feel ashamed of this team if it only wins 25 games if they give the same level of effort.
Yeah, I'll say this again. If IT is going to play like he played against the Spurs, right, in his first game, if he plays like that, this team can shock a lot of people. But, you know, that's you're asking for a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You're asking for a lot to get that type of IT. But if he can play that way, like, instead of this team winning 20 games, this team can win close to 40, you know, 40 to 42 games and maybe be an eighth seed. You know what I mean? But I've learned this, though, by watching the Wizards. Like, and I've watched them over, like, you know, watching them over the last couple of years. Bradley Beal don't have a clutch gene.
You don't think so?
He don't have a clutch gene. I mean, he a baller. He's been balling. There's a difference. Like, it's not a knock on Bradley Beal. I think a lot of people, when you say someone doesn't have a clutch gene, they're thinking, like, you're calling him trash. And I'm not calling him trash. But he doesn't have a clutch gene. He's not a 5-4-3-2-1 dude. Like, do you remember, like, a Bradley Beal 5-4-3-2-1 moment that's...
I don't.
He's not.
I would be lying if I said I did. But...
And you would think with that J, he would have that type of gene. You would think so.
Yeah, but I just don't want to say Bradley Beal isn't clutch.
I say he's on clutch. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll make it nicer. He doesn't have a 5-4-3-2-1. He's not that type of player. Like, shot clock going down. five, you know, so and a half.
You're essentially saying the same thing.
I know. Look, look, look. I'm trying to say. I'm saying it in a nice way. I'm saying it in a nice way. You know what I mean? Like, get the ball, Bradley Beal. Give me that bucket. You know what I mean? We all played a game, the 5-4-3-2-1 game. We played that in the past. Like, all I'm saying is that if the game is, did Zimmerman get it? No, he didn't get it.
Nope.
I'm just saying, like, you're playing a street ball game. Score is, you're going to 16, call it six, twos and ones, right?
Uh-huh.
You're at 14. Bradley Beal's out there. You know, Bradley Beal's out
let
there
me,
in the corner.
Let me ask you this question.
Are you passing the ball to Bradley Beal for that shot? Going ISO on an ISO play?
Absolutely.
I mean, he was wide open. I give him the ball, but I'm not sure on an ISO play.
Do you feel that criticizing an NBA player while you're judging your game against street ball?
For me?
Yes.
Not for me. I'm not comparing it to me.
Okay.
I'm just comparing him to, like, in a street ball term. Like, say you got Bradley Beal, street baller, right? And Isaiah Thomas. All right. Like, so Bradley Beal's a better player than Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
At this point in time, right?
Yes.
Bradley Beal is right there. You got Bradley Beal, Isaiah Thomas on the ISO. You're down 14-14, right? Who do you get the ball to? You need to, and you're going for game. I call game. Who you getting the ball to? Because you believe that person's gonna get that bucket. He's that clutch
being. I'm giving it to Bradley Beal for the simple fact that unless Isaiah Thomas gets going downhill, he's not going to be able to score the basketball.
All right. See, I'm just saying. I'm going with that man with that resume. That resume of being clutch.
Oh, I mean, he has the resume of being clutch because he had a good coach who put him in a position to go downhill and get the basket.
Right.
So, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Isaiah Thomas, but if you followed his last year in Boston, you see that Brad Stevens did a lot to put Isaiah Thomas in the position to go downhill and put him in the best position to get a bucket.
All right, I'm just saying.
That's my perspective.
And it's a good perspective, man. It's a good one. You listen to the Urban Sports. So real quick, man, what do you expect to see tomorrow night when this team is playing the Rockets in a home opener? Finally, I said it correctly.
I think they lose by 10.
By 10? All right.
Yeah, I think they lose by 10. It's going to be interesting because typically when you're a team's best offensive player, you try to hide them against the other team's weakest offensive player, especially if they play the one or the two.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal, is he going to guard Westbrook? Is he going to guard James Harden? And
who is going to check?
Yeah, or do they try to hide him on like a PJ Tucker or something like that?
Because Bradley's going to have to check somebody good.
Yeah,
so foul trouble.
Yeah,
not that he can't play defense
it's not that he can't play defense. It's Bradley Beal's going to have to exert a lot of effort on the offensive end.
Yeah, I got you. That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully, you know, I'll have to make a hard decision between watching Game 7 of the World Series or watching Wizards' home opener.
Hopefully the Nets make it to Game 7.
I mean, hopefully. I'm hoping to have that. To me, that's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem to have. Of course. Agreed. We'll talk about what we've learned during the early NBA season after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Nothing like the old school NBA song on NBC. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself, Will A. Ray Jeezy is out. Opening week in the NBA has passed. What did you learn during the first week of the NBA season?
I learned that it's LeBron really doesn't want to be 1B to Anthony Davis.
Really? Is that what you think?
Absolutely.
I think LeBron is deferred to AD a lot.
Okay, that's fair, but the same problem, I'm not going to say problem, but the same situation that happened in Miami and Cleveland is starting to surface itself in LA, where you have a predominantly back-to-the-basket post player,
yeah,
i.e. Chris Bosh, i.e. Kevin Love. They are going to have to augment their game,
yeah,
to make it really, to make it flow the best way possible
for LeBron?
With LeBron.
I think AD's different from those dudes, though. AD, if you like, he's not even really, even watching OKC, I mean OKC, excuse me, New Orleans, a banger. True be told, he's a Lob City type dude. Versatility off the dribble.
That's true.
In LA, he's doing the same thing. Actually, I would prefer watching him. I would prefer for them to do more lob screen roll type stuff.
Okay, well, let me refresh my statement. Mm. Not necessarily a banger, but getting the ball in the low post and scoring. Yeah. Whether that's him facing up.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Whether that's him whether he's getting the ball ISO facing up against a big man, taking him off to the dribble and getting to the basket, or whether with his back to the ball, back to the basket. Whether the double comes and he makes the right pass, or whether he bangs and gets into the paint and scores. You're seeing another big man having to change his game to get the most out of playing with LeBron. And especially because the team has shooting.
Yeah, they have a lot. Better shooting.
They have better shooting than they had last year.
But better than they had last year.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
So we posted the same question on Facebook. Troy posted, the Phoenix Suns may finally have a legit organization. He added, Trae Young is the truth and will be an all-star this year. Markelle Fultz, was it the local kid, may contend for sixth man of the year. He is having a good year so far.
He is. I have him on my fantasy.
The Warriors will shut Curry and Draymond down by early March. Cat can be a legitimate number one option and have Minnesota in the playoff contention. Cat looks good so far. But
Cat looks great.
He looks good early on. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For me, what I've learned early is, one, I've always said this, that Alvin Gentry is a horrible coach in terms of wins and losses. Good offensive coach in terms of running up and down. Wins and losses, not a good coach.
Why do you say that?
It stems from having AD and Cousins together and still barely being able to get to, barely being able to win 40 games when he had that one stretch. And then when Boogie went down, and even that time before Boogie went down, should have been more dominant, but they were basically treading water. This team, if you watch certain games, like at the end of games, Lonzo Ball looked good, doesn't play an inch in the fourth quarter. I will say that, in New Orleans, I do like how what's his face? Brandon Ingram's playing. I do like Brandon. Brandon Ingram looks like he's kind of he likes the offense. He's taking ownership of his game and becoming more of becoming that player that people thought he would be coming out of Duke. So that's a good thing in terms of what New Orleans is doing. Looking at Paul Silas, to me, the coaching has really been evident to me. Like, I've been paying attention to a lot of coaches. I'm like, Paul Silas is horrible. I'm sorry. I'm going to say this for the Knicks. The only thing that's cool about Fizdale is that he has a banging chick. Like, that's the only, as a coach, though, Fizdale is bad. I'm sorry. What he's doing to Dennis Smith Jr. is annoying and ridiculous. He has made that supreme talented kid, because he's talented as hell, and has took away his confidence. He put Knox on the bench. Like, you drafted Knox, and Knox is coming off the bench. Like, I'm sorry. He's just not a great coach to me. He did the same thing to Marcus Gasol. He ruined Marc Gasol, had him off the bench, changed his game.
Let me ask you this. Is it that he's ruining them, or those guys aren't giving him
the
effort and the things that he needs to see on a day-to-day basis in practice and in the games? that's making him hesitant to trust those players?
All I know is that coaches, a lot of coaches, the good coaches, they get these guys the ball. And whatever reason it is, all I know is he has a track record. He did the thing in Memphis. And Marc Gasol was a all-star. He was an all-star first team defensive big in Memphis. Fizdale comes there, like, oh, we gotta have him come off the bench. But it was Debo. He changed that whole situation, man. He changed the whole situation. He comes here to New York. They hire him because, again, he has sex appeal. Something about, like, I'm sorry, it is what it is. Like, Fizdale, he's hip. He's cool. Like, oh, man, Fizdale, man. They saw on NBA TV. He a cool dude, man. He that dude. As X's and O's coach, the Knicks need, like, to me, the Knicks have talent. You're a Knicks fan. I just watched the Knicks. Thank you, the package, NBA package, for that 1 week is free. I love you guys. I'm watching Knicks games, and I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching. I'm like, there's a bunch of talent. Like, they got you sign Portis Randall, whatever.
There are some talented players on that team, but there's also overlapping talent that takes away from the long-term development and the long-term.
Those signings were terrible. Those signings were terrible. It took
the
away.
The only signing that I thought was good was Julius Randle.
Yeah, because he's still young and he's still.
I like the Julius Randle signing, and I like the Elfrid Payton. Well,
I don't like Payton signing. I thought you had point guard. Like, you, again, I like Dennis Smith Jr. So I'm gonna look at him and say, you know what? Hey, here are the keys, dude. I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna let you rock, and I'm gonna utilize your ability, man. I'm gonna have you play. Like, you talking about downhill. Like IT going, you want Dennis Smith Jr. going down. You want him attacking the basket.
Absolutely. Like, to me, I tell people all the time, when I saw Dennis Smith Jr. play, I saw a lighter, more athletic Baron Davis.
Yes.
That's what I saw.
It's the truth. That's what you do see. I mean, he's going to have to work on his J. Yeah. He's going to have to improve his jumper. I agree. But at the end of the day, utilize him, man. Take advantage of what he could do. Baron Davis, J was good. It was good coming out of UCLA. I'm not saying it was the best, but it was good. But this dude, have him go downhill. He's strong. He's got bounce.
I mean, bounce. He has very good athleticism. Yeah. I'm wondering, where's the disconnect? You know, as a Knicks fan, and then also Mitchell Robinson, man.
Like, yes.
Why isn't Mitchell Robinson getting the time that he needs to further groom his game? The guy's he can average three blocks and like 12 boards a game.
Let me throw some names out there for you, man, so you can understand what I'm talking about. And you tell me, like, Robinson couldn't do this. Capella. He can't do what Capella does. You know what I'm saying?
He can't do what Capella does.
He's more athletic than Capella, too.
He can also do some of the things that DeAndre
Ayton. You know what I mean? Like, he can't. I'm not saying he's better than DeAndre Ayton, though. I'm just saying.
No. I mean, athletically. Then you also had DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, like, rim runners. This is the era. This is not 90s basketball where your bigs have to be super skilled. You know what I mean? Like, they're rim runners. That's what they are now.
Yeah, they're rim runners. And then you also think about it, when off the pick and roll, when those guys start running to the rim, it forces some of the backside defense to come in, and then you can hit them over the top.
Yeah, exactly. And then it spreads everything up. Once he's hitting the rim, like, everything gets sucked in, so they're worried about him. He can kick it out to a shooter. Again, I'm just saying, like, what they have going, like, I don't get why these dudes aren't playing. These are your young dudes. I've always heard that in the NBA with certain coaches, and this is why certain coaches lose their jobs. The ones that do this, when you are a rebuilding team and you have nothing but young players, and you decide to play vets who don't need to play over your young dudes, this is why you lose your job. You know what I mean?
I mean, you also lose your job, but, you know, also they're saying, you know, I'm trying to give my team the best chance to win.
Yeah.
I can't worry about the development of these players.
This is your best chance to win what you're doing?
I mean, in his eyes, possibly.
Oh, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, Solomon posted, I learned it's only 1 week and people are acting like the playoffs start this weekend. Brandon posted, teams are coming for the Warriors next this year. Dwight Howard might be a key contributor to the Lakers. Trae Young will average 28 and 10. Everybody loves Trae Young. Dwight has been a key contributor, man. Dwight's been good for the Lakers. I said that, you know, in a Lakers chat room on Facebook, and folks like went at my heads early. Now all of them are loving Dwight Howard. I was like, huh? Told y'all.
Funny how it works out.
I know it's funny, right? All right. We'll make our week 9 NFL picks after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
The Commission. Uncle Paulie. P. Diddy. Cesar Leo. De Janeiro. Charlie Baltimore. Iceberg Slim. The Most Shady. Frankie Baby. We here.
Do you know what beef is? Do you know what beef is?
Do you know what beef
is? Ask yourself. Do you know what beef is?
Check out this bizarre rapper style used by me. The B.I.G. I put my key, you put your key in. Money will be seeing. We'll reach the flip of ceiling. Check it. My calico bin cop. This rap Alfred Hitchcock drop top notch. Player hating don't stop. This instant, rappers too persistent. Quick to spit. Biggie name on. Make my name taste like ass when you speak it. See me in the street, your jewelry, you can keep it.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Will T, Ray Jeezy's out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. Here's what we did in week 8. Will T and Ray went 11-4, and I went 12-3. Here are our overall records. Will T and I are tied. We're 70-50, and Ray Jeezy is 69-51. Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Scott is 78-42. Hakun Wong is 77-43, and Joanne is 69-51. Ryan is 64-56. I'm betting Ryan now. That's what's up. The homie George is 75-45. All right. Here are week 9 picks. The Niners, Cardinals.
I am going with the Cardinals for the upset.
Cardinals? Are you serious?
Yep. I'm going with the Cardinals for the upset.
Shit. Excuse my language. That caught me on guard. I'm going with the Niners. Damn, you caught me on guard with that one, bro. You believe in Kyler?
I believe that his ability to create on the run and create outside of the pocket is going to be the biggest difference. And plus the way that they try to make teams play horizontally opposed to vertically.
I respect that. All right. Texans, Jaguars. I picked the Niners. Texans, Jaguars.
What did Ray pick?
I was going to read through his and do that at the end.
I am going with the Jaguars.
All right. Going with the Texans. Rick. Well, I think I picked the Texans. Yeah, I'm going with the Texans. No, hold on. Let me make sure. Actually. Cause I did this pick thing right here on my phone. Let me make sure. Eaton just walked. I'm very distracted. I'm not going to lie. But it's all good, man. Yeah, I got the Texans. All right, Redskins, Bills.
Bills.
I'm going with the Skins. This is like one of the very few games I actually think the Skins have a chance to win.
On the road in Buffalo.
They ran the football. They can have a chance. I don't like Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is just as bad as like at this point in time as bad as Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
I don't think he's. But I mean, again, the Bills should win. I'm not going to act like they. You know, it's a game that the Skins definitely have a great chance to win. Vikings versus the Chiefs.
Vikings.
I got the Vikings too. Jets versus Dolphins.
This is a stinker right here.
Ain't it, though?
This may be the one game the Dolphins actually can win.
See, you think the Dolphins can win this game?
I'm going to go with the Jets.
I'm going with the Jets, man. They just trade Leonard Williams. I cannot believe it. All right, but the Bears-Eagles. Oh, I got the Jets just in case.
I didn't say.
The Eagles? I'm going to Eagles as well. Colts versus the Steelers.
Oh, give me the Colts.
I'm going to Steelers, man.
Okay.
Titans versus the Panthers.
Kyle Allen's run is ended.
The Titans. Can we talk? Yeah. Look, ain't that funny? Ain't that grand? All that talk. He should take over Cam's job. Yeah. Okay. I'm going with the Panthers though. No, I'm just saying because I don't like Tannehill. I don't think it's not. But I'm just saying, I think the Niners brought him back to reality. That's all I'm saying. When Cam gets back, it's his job. Lions versus the Raiders.
Go with the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions. Buccaneers versus the Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks.
This is my upset. The Buccaneers.
I'm going
Okay. That was that special. Browns versus the Broncos.
Give me the Browns.
Give me the Browns too. The Broncos ain't that good. I don't care what they do. Packers versus the Chargers.
Go with the Packers.
I got the Chargers. Patriots versus the Ravens. Yeah, I know who I'm going with.
Give me Baltimore.
Okay. Give me the Patriots. And the Cowboys versus the Giants. My soul won't let me pick the Cowboys, so I'm picking the Giants. This potentially could be a bad week for me. I got a lot of bad ones. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Look, I'm taking a chance, man. I went with Arizona.
Yeah, you did too. Me and Ray have said like you took a lot of chances this during our pick 'em joints.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going with Arizona. That's what they, I'm going with Tennessee on mm-hmm. the road. I'm going with the Colts on the road.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Lions on the road.
Mm-hmm. So. We said that me and Ray's like this is the year that actually all of us have taken like some risky ass picks, have made some risky ass picks. All right, Ray picked the Niners, the Texans, the Bills, the Vikings, the Jets, the Eagles, the Colts, the Panthers, the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Browns, the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Cowboys. All right, man. Make sure, before I end the show off, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would like to announce something again that this is what?
This is my last show. unless we can work out something, an amicable trade,
okay.
You know, where both parties win.
Yeah.
Which I thought was something that I proposed already, but, you know, clearly you're a tyrant. You're hell-bent on doing things your way, where you should think about the brand opposed to just
yourself.
Your selfish needs.
I know. I feel you. I respect that. You know what? I'm gonna think about this. I'm going to try to work with Will. The goal is to make sure Will stays a part of the family. We can't have him gone.
Yes.
All right? Even because of me being me, we can't have Will being gone. But anyway, thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.